Catfish, I can't believe it. They're already leaking stuff about season 8.
Amazing. You know, most people probably don't have access to it, though.
No.
Are we? I think we could be in trouble.
I don't know. I think because this is probably in the first episode, it's not that bad to read this script.
So okay.
Let's just go ahead and do it. Let's go to Winterfell.
Samuel Tarly, you're a sight for sore eyes.
John, you're here. You swore an oath to the Night's Watch. Yet you're here in Winterfell?
Yes, Sam, but the oath says, until my last breath. And, well, I don't want to brag. Normally, Sir Davos, come over here. Normally, Sir Davos tells everyone about it. Sir Davos, tell Sam about, you know, my thing.
No, I won't. You always get mad, Your Grace, when I try to tell people. So I've quit doing it. I may just be a humble man from Fleet Bottom, but I won't.
But I'm asking, I'm the king, you can... Forget it. Here, Sam, look at my chest. You see that? I died, and yet I live. A miracle, Sam.
Well, I don't know about that.
What? But look...
No, I cured Grayscale. I mean, have you seen it? That's a miracle. I mean, your chest is just a flesh wound. You might have just drawn it on there.
This flesh wound impressed my new lady.
Oh, you've got a Sally on the side?
No.
I call mine a gilly on my gill.
Wait, no, Sam. Sam, I've found love. I can't wait for you to meet her. I want the two of us to start a family.
No, don't say that word, family.
What? Sam, you're upset. Did something happen with Gilly and the baby?
No, they're fine. They're still delicious.
Delicious? The baby is delicious? What do you mean, Sam?
Well, I mean delicious, you know, when you're out there in the cold. Never mind. It's the Dragon Queen Daenerys. She killed my father.
Oh, no.
She's a horrible, horrible human being.
Oh.
I'm sorry, enough of my troubles. What's your girlfriend's name?
Sam, you've never liked your father, right? So therefore...
We had our troubles. It's too bad we never got to reconcile. But she also killed my brother, Dickon. I loved him so.
Oh, well...
She's ruined my life.
Really?
I mean, I will kill her if it's the last thing I do.
Sam.
Oh, no, enough with me. Tell me about your lady love. Who is she? I'm so happy for you.
She's nobody, Sam. Sam, you wouldn't know her. Just forget her.
Well, she'll be glad to know. You're not Jon Snow.
What do you mean?
You're the true-born son of Rhaegon Targaryen.
Wait, what now?
Yes, your brother and I, Bran, figured it out.
Huh?
Your father was a Targaryen, so this evil Queen Daenerys is your aunt. Forget that witch, that horrible, paganish creature.
Oh, no.
Who is this lady that you've been sexting with? What's her name?
No name. Really, she doesn't have a name. Don't know her. You know, she's really just like a friend with Boba Fitts. Somebody here. Oh, look there. Maester Walken, come over here. Meet my friend Sam. Maester Walken, come over.
King Jon Snow. I've done the tests on...
No, don't say that person's name. Medical privacy here in Winterfell.
We've done the tests on that woman, and while she may be able to bear children, I'm...
Oh, great.
...positive she has a sexually transmitted disease.
Oh, seven hells, what a day.
Yeah, I imagine she got it from having laid with sellswords like Dario 2.0, Dario 1.0, that really huge human being she married.
Oh, no. Oh, my Lord. Ugh.
John, come on, tell me what your girlfriend's name is. Tell me. Sam is so happy to hear.
Sam, why are we focusing on who I might be boning down with on a boat trip? I mean, somebody. Oh, look, here comes little Lady Lyanna Mormont. This way, Lady Lyanna.
King Jon Snow.
Yes.
The wall has fallen. It appears that Daenerys gave a dragon to the Night King.
Oh, no.
What stupid plan allowed her to lose a dragon to the Night King?
This is... little Lady Lyanna, this isn't the time to focus on who screwed up a plan and walked away from a dragon when we could have escaped. I mean, let's just not focus on...
All right, King of the North, if you say so.
Thank you.
But what I do demand is your girlfriend's name. Did your girlfriend answer the call?
Look... There have to be more important issues. Anybody? I mean, there's someone. Oh, Tyrion Lannister. Look, Sam, look at this ally I've brought to the north.
I did some creepy peeping on the boat.
Oh, no.
I heard from the queen that I'm not the smallest man in her court.
Look, no, fine, Tyrion. Oh, look, there's my direwolf ghost. Ghost, come here. I haven't seen you in a season.
Ghost has long white hair, just like queen.
No. Back in the kennel for you, ghost. That's it. Your one season appearance. That's it.
John.
Yes, Sam.
Here comes the Night King on an ice dragon.
Oh, thank the gods. Oop, I mean ice dragon. Oh, everyone, down. Fall back. Down into the Winterfell crypts, everyone. Down into the crypts. Every living person down into the crypts. Yes, perfect. Lock the crypt. Don't let the dead get in. Lock us in here. All right, is everyone here in the crypts? Oh, thank goodness we're safe. Tormund, there you are. You've made it. Thank the old gods you're here, Tormund.
The Night King can raise the dead. Someone led us down here into a crypt filled with dead bodies. All have a sword covering their tombs. Now the dead stalks are rising from their tombs with blue eyes.
But
we're trapped down here with whites that are gonna kill us. Which know nothing brought all of the living down here into the crypt. We should kill this dumb cunt, Propst. The Hound.
Wait, everybody, don't focus on that. I'm fucking my aunt, okay? Hello, everybody, focus on that. Fucking my aunt, there we go. Oh, wow, Catfish, that is action-packed, all the characters coming together.
There's a lot of drama in that. What I like is that sometimes we get all the characters together, and it doesn't feel real.
No.
And yet I feel like They really planted the seeds for this first scene.
Yeah, like John did in Daenerys.
Well, if he made it that far.
Oh well, the boat was rocking.
Well, I mean, those seeds were planted, and wow, what a powerful scene! A lot of conflict in that.
There was a lot. Hopefully, we've just spoiled the first scene of season 8, and people will be able to appreciate it come 2019.
I mean, if it's not the first scene, it should be.
Very busy. Many important matters require king's attention.
I'm king now. King now.
I am
king.
I am
king.
I am
kiss it.
I am
kiss it again.
I am
your fingers or your
king.
Doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plan.
He's one,
but
your fingers or your tongue.
I am
the king. I'm telling mother.
Welcome to the Joffrey Podcast. My name's Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter. And with me, as always, is somebody who always has the smartest plan to capture a white. It's Catfish. Catfish, how you doing?
Everything worked out to plan, Bubba. I'm so excited.
Excited.
I am Catfish. You can hit me up at CJGman67 on Twitter.
Catfish, some people I like to call double L's.
Double L's?
Well, that's what I like to call loyal listeners. People who download it even when Game of Thrones isn't on. We've asked them for their thoughts on Season 7.
Wow.
And we're going to cover it today. We're also going to chime in with our two thoughts, our two cents.
Okay. All right. I'll try to make sure that the two that I have are good.
Please. At the end of the last episode, The Dragon and the Wolf, we ranked the seasons. We said what was the best, what was the worst, and we kind of came with our order of the best Game of Thrones seasons there were. One thing we didn't do is we didn't rank season 7 as a whole.
Oh, got it.
So, do you have a rating? What would you give to season 7 of Game of Thrones? What is your ranking out of 10?
I'm going to give season 7 8 double S's.
Double S's?
Well, that stands for season 7. But also Sassy Sisters.
Oh, those
sisters were sassy. Yeah, because they did some great things.
Right.
But the Arya Sansa relationship was a little bit too far. The plan was crazy. Anybody at any point who heard of that plan should have said, "This plan is stupid." It did get us the Ice Dragon.
Jamie
coming back. I feel like they could have done that maybe in a different way. Also,
yeah,
they could have done some simple tweaks so that the timing wasn't so bad.
No, I agree.
With having the dragon show up.
I'm going to give season 7. Because I gave the first episode an 8, second episode a 7, third episode a 10, fourth episode a 9, so high. Fifth episode, I could start to see trouble, but I still had a lot of fun with it, gave it an 8. It's that penultimate episode. the one which should be sending us out on a bang and ready for season 8, Beyond the Wall, I think I only gave it a 6. I was back up to an 8 for the finale, but it just didn't go out with a bang like season 6 did. So I'm going to give season 7, 7, what I like to call double Fs out of 10.
Double Fs?
Well, in honor of John and Daenerys, I'm going to give, double F stands for family, family podcast. All right, so they were family.
Family friendly.
Family
they
friendly.
They were family friendly.
They sure were. We asked our double Ls. We asked you guys on Twitter and our Facebook page, facebook.com/doublepodcast. That's the word double, the single letter P, the word podcast, plural, facebook.com/doublepodcast. We asked you guys what kind of ranking out of 10 you would give it. And I don't know if it's because it was season 7, but the most results we got were for 7 out of 10. So okay. That's still good. But that's like a C or B grading scale here in the States.
If they were smart, they would have called this season 9 then.
Right. Right. Raise that grade a bit.
It's funny because if you sort of average your rankings, you'd give it higher than a 7. But
I did. But
the missteps really dragged it down and affected the whole season.
For me, it did. Now, most people gave it a 7. We just want to point out some of the non-7 ratings, and actually 1-7 rating of explanation of one listener of why they gave it a 7. Our good friend Matt_Diamond on Twitter, he gave it the highest ranking of any of our listeners. He gave it 8.5 out of 10. That's really high.
And how did he explain that?
Well, it was Twitter. He did have the character limit to explain it, but somebody who was just below that, our good friend Shakespeare of Thrones, who's at Shakes of Thrones on Twitter, gave it 8 out of 10 double E's.
Double E's.
Epic effects, as well as double B's.
Double P's?
Poor pacing.
Okay.
So that was Shakespeare of Thrones. People on Facebook, because they don't have that character limit, went a bit deeper. So why don't you jump in, and we're going to try to run the gamut from, we're not going to read everybody's response, but we're trying to get different numbers and different rankings, the people who loved it and the people who were tough on it.
Okay, well, Dan Strees said, I give the season as a whole an 8 out of 10.
That's really high.
Each episode had me on the edge of my seat.
Good.
Everything that happened seemed to have a purpose, even just tying up loose ends like Littlefinger and Nymeria. My biggest complaint was that there wasn't enough screen time for my favorite character, a guy I refer to as Triple T.
Triple T?
Yeah. Tall, tucking Tormund.
Oh, man. He disappeared in the first episode. We didn't see him again until Eastwatch, the 5th episode. So, yeah, we missed him for 3 episodes there. Wow. He gave it 8 out of 10, and if Tormund had been around a bit more, this thing could have gone 10 out of 10 for him. That's great.
It could have been more tucking fun.
Our good friend Thomas Clapper gave the season 7 out of 10, like most people did, but because he was on Facebook, he could go a bit deeper with his analysis. He said the whole thing, without a doubt, had a rushed pace as a result of the short episode count. Now, I should always point out, when we talk about this short episode count, this was the executive producers. They decided the episode count. It wasn't like HBO said, only make 7. You know, they said, we want to do 7 this season. Thomas says that the budget, in his opinion, was certainly utilized well, and it was beautiful on the screen. He just said the season was a bit odd and felt a bit off. So many fan service meeting moments, which were great, but he also never feared for a character's life very often, like usual. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He said there were a few exceptions, of course. This is all in hindsight. I loved it as it was happening live. I didn't expect the Army of the Dead to come before the battle for the throne in the grand scheme of things, but he believes it will. Interesting.
Well, that's interesting.
Do you believe that now, Catfish? Do you think, looking at season 8, it does seem like Cersei's going to be able to hunker down for a bit while the Night King stomps? Will they happen at the same time? Will the Night King have to get defeated and then there's a battle for the Iron Throne, a bit like Lord of the Rings, where you, spoiler alert for Lord of the Rings, you have to destroy the ring, destroy Sauron. Then you come back and there's the scouring of the Shire, and you got to fix that too.
I still believe it's the Game of Thrones, but I believe that it starts with the ultimate enemy as being the White Walkers. And whenever you set something up as the ultimate enemy, not only is it supposed to be the hero or heroes who defeat it, but as the name indicates, ultimate enemy, they're the last thing you have to defeat. So I still believe that the White Walkers' fight will be last, if only because maybe the people in the north kind of get driven south.
No, that's a great call. You also, speaking of rings, ring theory, if you're going to start with the White Walkers, was the very first shot in the show, you should kind of end with them. I think that makes sense, too. I'm just torn. Cersei's so by herself. You know, she's going to be doing scenes with Qyburn, with the Franken Mountain Gregor, and maybe if she can get over her past relationships offset with Bronn, you know?
Right.
Oh, maybe Euron could come back, and maybe the Golden Company has a leader. She could talk to him for some scenes.
Yeah, that's interesting. I do believe that it feels like Cersei has maybe an outsized role in the show just because she is such a fan favorite, but I'm not sure who else could be down south in the books to present a danger to them. But it is, I mean, even though the first book is called Game of Thrones,
yeah,
that's just the first book, and this is, you know, A Song of Ice and Fire. So I still believe that the ultimate enemy is the White Walkers.
Oh, no. Well, hey, let's get to some people. Those were a couple of people who went, 8 out of 10, 8.5 out of 10. Let's get to some people who gave feedback where they were a bit tougher.
Conrad Serwinski said, I would give this season a 6.5 for the SSS.
SSS.
Super speed storytelling.
Ooh.
I think we all grew to love the intricate details that the show revealed, and we were along for the ride. Slowly, we would see events come together, and even the smallest detail that was mentioned a long time ago comes back to the story. Like The Wire. That's not just my
side. Oh, love The Wire.
In this season, without any books to go off of, I really felt like the plot was in hyperdrive, and we were just slamming between events. Danny's Dragons might be, that's double D's, Danny's Dragons, might be depreciating based on how much mileage was put on those wings this season as compared to the other seasons. I'm not sure if this is a producer's fault because they want to be done with the show, or rather GRRM's fault because they signed up for a book adaptation and now they're sort of lost.
Hmm.
I was also not happy about the double F.
Double F?
You said it before, family friendly-ing. Sex scene, so much buildup to be taken away made sort of weird while two competing things are being revealed. That's an interesting point. Regardless, I will obviously watch the show. I meant to pick up the other shows you guys podcast about, since I can't wait this long because you two are by far my favorite podcasters to listen to.
Oh, thank you so much.
Said, I enjoyed the show. You had a guest on too. It was a pretty fun episode as well. As a double L. Loyal listener.
Oh.
I and most of us already know how the show is ending. This Game of Thrones was simply that, a game played by others, meaningless and fruitless, while the one true heir to the throne, Joffrey,
heck yeah,
first of his name,
first in
our hearts, will finally emerge and rid the world of all usurpers, living and dead.
Boy, we thought the leaked scene we read earlier spoiled season 8. Here, this great feedback.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I thought that he had some interesting points that we should probably talk about a little bit later.
Yeah, I want to get to this next one from Michael, because this was also from the Facebook page, because the pacing everybody talks about. So Michael gives season 7 what he likes to call a double S.
Double S.
Stupid scripts. Up into the end of episode 4, it was set to be one of the best seasons yet. Jaime and Bronn coming up from the lake to a barren battlefield about a minute after a massive war proved to be the writers don't have it together. And so I really still enjoyed that episode after the Spoils War, episode 5, Eastwatch. But I didn't mind the speed. I only minded the speed when it tied to directly to the plot, meaning that, okay, John and company are trapped on an ice island, and so there was a natural kind of time limit on the lake freezing.
Right.
You know, all the other speed, I actually personally didn't mind that much because, it took them this long to boat around to Casterly Rock, and we just skip all that. That's fine. But when it's tied specifically to life or death, then it did feel like, wait a minute, okay, the Raven's going to fly hundreds of miles in super speed, then Daenerys is going to put on her winter clothing and go north in super speed.
Didn't she need that tailored first? It looked like it was tailored.
Oh, man.
She needed to have that made first.
Heck
yeah. Unless she was planning to go north, spend some time with her honey.
Oh, man, totally. Two other rankings I want to get to real quick. Our wonderful friend in double L, at Grumpy Gobert, David on Twitter, gave it 6 double S's.
Double S's?
Sanguine storylines. Ouch, that's tough. And then the lowest ranking we got was from who, Catfish?
It was from David Viteris Sarasti.
Ooh, good.
At D. Viteris. 5 out of 10, loved the first 3, very disappointed in the rest.
Mm.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that is, in some ways, if you'd say just one ranking was down at a 5, that's actually pretty good. I think in hindsight, We'll always think about the highs of this season and maybe skip the lows, but 5 out of 10. That's tough. I don't want to disagree or fight anybody's rankings. I can see how somebody could be that tough. I could also see somebody going to 8.5. There were moments that were just incredibly fun that will last, and you'll think about, you know, for the rest of the times you think about Game of Thrones, you'll think about how awesome was that.
I mean, as many great rankings I gave to individual episodes, this was the first time when I thought that I don't know if the writers are going to be able to land this plane. To be honest, I don't know whether George R. R. Martin is going to be able to land this plane.
That is a great point.
But they're the ones who are going to have to land it first, so.
We had one great bit of feedback that I wanted to get to. She didn't give us a ranking, but I love some of the insight. So, Catfish, why don't you read this next one?
All right. Priscilla Bezerra says, I am all for speeding things up, but I was surprised how D&D simply assumed, that'd be the writers,
yep,
the producers, simply assumed we'd be down with whatever they'd be throwing at us, especially when we would have been so simple to make it more clear how time is elapsing in a given episode. They could have added a simple line in the middle of an episode like, it's been 2 weeks since Lady Olenna left and no raven came, or Euron mentioned this flagship is twice as fast as the regular ones, so he must have arrived at Casterly Rock now. Beyond the Wall would have worked just fine had they let Gendry stay and simply had Brandon see what was going on and send a raven to Daenerys as soon as the polar bear attacked them. They would have saved 5-6 hours from their already flimsy time frame and giving something better for Brandon to do other than freaking out Littlefinger. But hey, they did learn the mistakes of season 6. They stopped trying to make Missandei and Grey Worm tell jokes. Well, Grey Worm's on his cruise, as we all know, telling jokes. And instead, they managed to have really funny and needed moments, especially with Davos and, bless his heart, Jon Snow.
Aww.
I think Daenerys and Jon relationship progress felt organic and real, and for that I'm thankful because it could have been terrible.
Man, I think that's good. A lot of times I wonder why they don't just add one line. You know, they do occasionally. They're big on Fortnite. Like, oh, we're going to do this in a fortnight. Iron Bank, you'll have your gold in a fortnight.
Oh, that's like Trump. It's always 2 weeks.
And so, okay, we've just then followed up with some people who were really tough on season 7. Let's get to stuff everybody loves in Game of Thrones, death. So we decided to ask you, loyal listeners, what you consider the best death of season 7 in Game of Thrones. I want to go to our great, wonderful friend, Christine, who's at CutePoison10 on Twitter. Her response to the best death of season 7, she wrote back, no good deaths, period.
Oh, man. Not even Littlefinger, even though I saw it coming. I still enjoyed it.
Maybe she's a real pacifist and doesn't like death.
Okay, well, that's good. Look, Christine, and then she should is watching the wrong show.
Oh, no. Catfish, another good one, Shakespeare of Thrones. Naturally, somebody with Shakespeare in their title would come up with something brilliant. His best death of the season, Reek, in episode 7.
Oh,
as Theon, Reek died, Theon's
peace
back.
Peace out to Reek. I love it.
Any idea what your favorite death of the season was, Catfish? What you thought, oh man, that was a great death.
I mean, my favorite death was, it was Littlefinger. Even though I knew it was going to come, it was still delicious. And the way that Sansa just laid things out bit by bit by bit. And then Arya just took him down. I thought it was great. What about you?
This is one a lot of people may not be happy about.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing the dragon Viserion die with the blood gushing and him falling down to the lake, I thought that's a good death. You want a death that's going to really rock your world on Game of Thrones. And so
he's not really dead, though. He's undead.
Right. Would you believe, Catfish, mm-hmm, that not yours, not mine, not the two ones we listed earlier, what was the most popular answer for when we asked you what the best death was?
Tell me what it was, Bubba.
I want Cersei to know it was me. Olenna Tyrell.
Oh, yeah.
Our good friend Stephanie Persephone, she led the voting off by saying Olenna Tyrell, the true OG, died a badass.
That is the best way to put it.
So many people were like this. Melanie, who's at Melanie Lott 7 on Twitter. We had Louise Foster, who just wrote it so well. She wrote, I think Olenna got the best death, being able to twist the knife, so to speak, while she died in a relatively pain-free death and leaving her would-be tormentors tormented. Oh, she loved it. But she also loved Littlefinger, too. That's a good one, huh?
And what I loved about Olenna's death it not only was able to twist the knife, but it provided some important information for Jaime to give Cersei later that affected mm-hmm. the way that she could have thought about Tyrion and her family. So that was brilliant. That part of it was brilliant.
That's true. Now, our good friend Grumpy Gobert, he had one answer, which we got less often than I thought. He gave it up for Dickon and Randall.
Oh, yeah.
We got a couple of people.
The Tarly fricassee.
Right. A couple of people love the old toasted Tarlys. And our good friend Jesse Jordan, who's at Mr. Jesse Jordan on Twitter, he said his best death of the season was the very first scene of the season. He loved the phrase.
Oh, so good.
Getting it gone. But he also put in a write-in vote for Littlefinger as well. Oh, a lot of good death this season. When you think about it, and we haven't even talked about it was a damn bad way to go, but that sand snake, Tyene Sand. Ooh. Oh, well, heck, all the sand ooh. Snakes went out just really. Ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
I'm, but no one said the death of time.
Catfish, let's stay on a positive note. We ask listeners for their favorite moment of season 4. If you had to list your favorite moment, you know, this can be a scene, this can just be one slit of the throat of Littlefinger. What was the favorite thing in season 4? What was it for you?
Wow. For me, I think it was, and I think this is going to be different than most people. For me, it was seeing the dragons attack the White Walkers.
Oh, yeah. But right when they first show up in mm-hmm. that overhead shot of them just frying all those zombies below.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful effect shot. That was really, really, really good. I think I'm going to have to go with our most popular response.
Okay.
I try to think of something, you know, that was just as good, as much as when I'm sitting up going, oh, hell yeah, and I can't. It's the infamous loot train attack, the attack that ended episode 4, The Spoils of War. So many people went nuts.
The one that killed Jaime.
The one that sank Jaime to the bottom of the river / lake / high dive. And so we got so many great responses from it. But within the loot train attack, some people had specific moments within it that they loved. So what did we get from that, Kevin?
Well, again, David Viteri Sarasti said Jaime charging at Drogon and Dany.
We had Sarah, who's at SarahLC_89. She said her favorite moment specifically was Bronn and Jaime hearing and then seeing those Dothraki riders. So good.
That was pretty good.
So, Catfish, because the loot train battle was everybody's favorite moment of season 7.
Most people's.
That's a good point. I wanted to see why people love the loot train over as opposed to maybe the polar bear attack or the ice lake attack. And one of the things, because the loot train attack, the battle of Jaime and Bronn being attacked by the Dothraki and the dragon, to me, it's very similarly set up to Hard Home. Meaning it's, you know, at the end of an episode.
Right.
And they're both, like, shocks to the main characters. The main characters are like, wait, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Shock happens. What did the loot train do that you didn't see in the polar bear attack and you didn't see in the ice lake? The loot train, it is 2 minutes and 26 seconds. Bronn is like, hey, what's that noise? What's that noise? 2 minutes and 26 seconds later, the dragon has finally unleashed fire on the Lannister troops. Contrast that to the polar bear. The polar bear, just 38 seconds after we first see it, it's eating the first red shirt. The ice lake attack. Now, admittedly, the zombies take a while to catch up. The ice lake attack, you hear the noise of the White Walkers coming. 1:15, meaning less than half of the time of the loot train, our heroes are out on the island. They're running from the zombies. The battle has engaged. The loot train attack, I think one of the reasons why people like it better is it takes that time. It takes 2.5 minutes for the battle to really start. And it's tense, and there's a great score. The score, just like in Hard Home, is like a clock ticking. Tick, 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 tick. It's like a countdown. You know something terrible is going to happen. The other thing, not that the characters weren't panicked in the polar bear attack or in the ice lake, but in the loot train and in Hard Home, you really see characters panicking. Their panic really feeds into the audience's fear of, oh my God, are we going to die? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? A final thing is that once the action starts, it doesn't let up. The ice battle was the exact opposite of that. It didn't take a lot of time. It didn't have a great score of tick, 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 here they come, here they come, here they come, dun, 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 dun. You didn't see the heroes panicking too much because once they got to the island, and when they really could panic, all the zombies fell in the water, and then it wasn't nonstop action. Why? It was several days because we need the Raven to go and go and go. So if you're at home constructing your own battle for your YouTube videos,
okay,
I think you got to put in some, you got to put some build up, some Hitchcockian tension of, oh my God, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Have a great score that starts the pulse going. There was almost no score on the polar bear attack at all. Finally, I think once the action starts, you've just got to go, 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 go. Hopefully Game of Thrones will follow that in season 8 and all the battles will be wonderful.
Now, we had some people who, it wasn't the loot train attack. Michael Tuorzio said, my favorite moments were the ones that got me nostalgic. Tyrion and Jon Snow even mentioning each other in their season 1 encounter was great.
Yeah, that's good.
Also, I love that I was keeping count, and if my calculations are correct, Joffrey was mentioned in 6 out of the 7 episodes. Foreshadowing.
Oh, love that answer, Michael. So good.
Stephanie Persephone says, favorite moment was Bronn Tyrion reunion or anything Euron said.
Oh, man, Stephanie's with me
for
sure. You're
all about Euron.
A great double L, Nathan Dokken, who's at Nathan Dokken, D-O-K-K-E-N on Twitter. Loot train battle was his favorite part, but he also wanted to say that he loved Bran dropping the chaos is a ladder line back to Littlefinger, and I'm with him. That was a great moment.
Which, as you said, should have been Littlefinger's clue to get the F out of Dodge. Mary Dillpickle, at Mary Doesn't Tweet, says, favorite moment was, how do you plead, Lord Baelish?
Oh, so good. And Littlefinger, you know, being an actor and doing double takes, you got to be good at it. And Aidan Gillen, we're going to miss him. That was a great, great moment of double take of Littlefinger saying, did I hear that right?
At Shakes of Thrones says his favorite moment was Jaime leaving Cersei about family-friendly time.
Jesse said, watching Arya murder.
Just anybody.
Anybody. Yeah, so good.
Melanie at Melanie Lot 7 says, Brienne and Sandor discuss Arya or Davos and the fermented crab. That was a great moment, the way he played with that. That was the kind of thing that we, you know, some it irritates some people, but I enjoy it. If the scenes are funny or illuminating in some way, I don't mind taking the sidetracks, and I think we lost some of those this year.
Yeah.
But there were some that we had that I thought were frustrating, but that one was... That was a great, great moment.
Catfish, let me say that if the effects of fermented crab last more than 4 hours, immediately contact your maester.
Whoa, get right down to the maester. Yeah, I was surprised that some people's favorite moment wasn't something that I just forgot. So.
What do you mean? You mean like Louise Foster? She said she loved Dwight bringing down the wall. She even said to her husband, she said, the last shot of the dragon coming over the trees, he replied, oh, I forgot about the dragon. So good. She loved Jamie's moment in season 7, riding off to fight with that snow coming down and then snow on King's Landing. Mm-hmm. That was wonderful, wonderful moment.
David, again, at Grumpy Go Bear says laser dragon versus ice wall. That's so good. I'm surprised nobody said anything about the Hound and Tormund talking about Brienne.
So
that
good.
Was a beautiful moment.
You know her?
Yeah, she's grumpy and she wants to kill you? You do know her.
Now, we didn't ask you guys, but after our last podcast, we did rank the seasons, and of course, our good friend Matt Diamond, he did his own knee-jerk rankings of the season.
Let's hear it.
He went season 4,
okay.
Then season 1,
all right.
Season 3, season 6, season 7, coming in the second half here, 2, and then season 5.
Wow.
So many people rank season 5 at the absolute bottom, but what I'll remind everyone is no matter how bad you may have thought season 5 was, that also featured Hardhome, which so many people say is their favorite battle mm-hmm. of the entire mm-hmm. series. So it's this dichotomy. Even in what people would call the worst season, they have the greatest battle. And what's funny, Matt here ranked season 2 as the next to last. And of course, that featured the Battle of the Blackwater, which people also love. So even in a bad season, there can be these wonderful moments.
I think I might push season 6 to my second half. But
oh, I know. Those last two episodes, season six, so good.
Oh, man. It's tough. It's tough.
Now, we wanted you guys to kind of give us your feedback about various things within the season. And mm-hmm. so one of the things we always joked about, Catfish, is why would Cersei agree to this stupid armistice other than the fact of she can't defeat dragons? But she doesn't care if zombies are going to kill northerners. She doesn't
right,
care.
Right.
And so this wonderful loyal listener on Facebook, Michael Gideons, he wrote about that infamous meeting. He said, why didn't Dany just use her dragons, burn Cersei, Jaime the Mountain, take the throne, declare herself the rightful heir? Then she could command everyone to fight the White Walkers and take the throne at the same time. Two birds, one dragon. Excuse me, two dragons, one Iron Throne. She doesn't have to burn everybody, but three or four people who were there at the dragon pit. Maybe 10 at the most. Look, Michael's trying to, you know, put it, give it eagle setting. He said, season 8 is all about the army of the undead. So what do you think about that? They were all just right there. She could have just roasted them all.
You know, this would have been a good comeback for Jon when she was like, why did you have to be so honorable? He should have said, you had the dragon. Could have just burned these guys. Don't look right. at me.
He would never think of it. Poor Jon. He's too nice a guy.
Why not Tyrion? Come on. A Lannister always salves their wounds, their fiery wounds.
So during the season, we had so many people complaining about aunt and nephew making a nephew. What does an aunt and a nephew make?
A naunt. You know, that does remind me, though.
Yeah.
What's worse than aunts in your pants?
What?
Uncles.
All right, so our good friend Priscilla also wrote on the Facebook page, and she said she was not creeped out about boat incest because, one, they were not raised as family.
Right.
Two, they do not know. Three, they are Targaryens who incested their way long before it was cool because they wanted to keep the blood of the dragon. And then finally she said she is partially sad because my uncles are not handsome. She goes, damn, Jon Snow, you are lucky. That is some smart thinking there, Priscilla.
This does bring up the question.
Yeah.
They intentionally decided, let's not let them enjoy this at all. Let's intercut the, oh, they're related to, oh, thank God they're finally doing it. I mean, it's just torture, really, by the writers.
Another great loyal listener, Shadowcat Bex at Rebecca_Beluck on Twitter. She said, Brienne and Tormund forever.
Oh, yeah. True love.
Yeah. But when will we find out that Brienne and Tormund are related?
You know exactly when. When they're doing it for the first
time. Right, exactly. We won't know until then. A lot of people wanted to talk about, hey, Jon Snow, as we've been calling him all season seven, all seven seasons, is actually Aegon Targaryen. And so.
Or Aegon.
And so, Aegon Targaryen. So, people wanted to talk about that. People had their feedback about that. Perhaps the silliest and my favorite feedback on that subject matter.
Of course.
Came from at Joe Bear on Twitter, who said, I'm not joking. During that scene in the final episode, he goes, I swear I heard Lyanna Stark whisper to Ned Stark, his name is Dickon Targaryen. He couldn't believe it. He really thought everyone would be talking about the big Dickon Targaryen twist. He goes, his mind must have been playing tricks on him. Would that not have been the awesomest, most wonderful name drop ever?
Well, I don't know. We've already had Rickon. We've already had Dickon. What if he was like Sickon or Pickon? Pickon Targaryen.
Our wonderful friend Matt Murdock, double L, who's at Musical Concepts on Twitter, he asked the question, which I'm going to put out to you listeners, and I want you to respond and give us more feedback on this feedback podcast. He said, why do you think they, and he means the Game of Thrones writers as opposed to George R.R. Martin, he says, why do you think the Game of Thrones writers chose Aegon to be Jon Snow's real name? He says, is it a nod to book readers' character who didn't make the show, sometimes nicknamed Fake Aegon or Fagon? He says, the Blu-rays mention that Rhaegar already had a son with Elia Martell named Aegon. And so he thinks that this choice of Aegon may be something that isn't what it'll be in the books, but that the show wanted to give you a name that was kind of familiar in the lore of Aegon Targaryen, the Conqueror.
Okay.
Where I think this thought process comes from, and we're not 100% sure yet, is that in the books, it is implied, but never even close to being said, that Hodor's real name is Walder, a.k.a. he has the same first name as Walder Frey. And so the thought is, well, the show didn't want to have Hodor named Walder and have show watchers go, well, wait a minute, does this somehow mean he's a Frey or something? So the show, unlike the books, named him Willis. Now, that hasn't been proven yet. The books may name him Willis, but that was a thought process. So I think some people are doubting that the name will be Aegon in the books. Our good friends at the History of Westeros podcast, they came out with their own Season 7 post-show, and they brought up several good reasons why his name could be Aegon in the books as well as the show. Rhaegar, the book character, was kind of obsessed with prophecy, legacy. And so as silly as we think of George Foreman naming all his sons George, apparently throughout history there were several kings who would name all their children the same. And they think that based on the book character of Rhaegar, who really is almost, you know, barely mentioned in the show, that would be kind of his thought process. All my sons need to fill this destiny, and so I'm going to name them all Aegon, and one of them will. You're increasing the odds.
Oh, right, right. It's not just laziness, is what you're saying. I can only think of one name.
Now, I mentioned that Joe Baer, he's watching this show. His ears trick him, and he thinks that he hears her whisper, his name is Dickon Targaryen. Our great listener, Stephen Douglas, had a similar thing. He thought Lyanna told Ned that Jon's name was Eddard. And he was really excited about Eddard Targaryen for about 24 hours. He's like, oh, that's so cool. He really is a Stark and a Targaryen. Stephen writes, now I'm sad.
Yeah, you know, you would think, you know, she's there.
She's dying. She's handing over her son to her brother.
Right. And so doesn't she could pick the name now, and it would be good if it was a name that showed her side of the family.
Right. It'd be the equivalent of, hey, I screwed up. I put the whole country into war because I didn't come clean about running off with some married guy. So how about we name him Eddard? Maybe Eddard heard that and said, maybe Ned heard that and was like, don't soil my name. Come up with a different name. One thing people thought they would get in Season 7, but they didn't.
Well, now, but what if you know, Bran just pulled out of the
vision
of the
quest,
vision
yeah.
at that point. What if he went back in and saw right after she said it, she said, his name is Aegon Targaryen. Just kidding.
Oh, Lyanna, you and your sense of humor.
And Bran just didn't stay long enough.
Promise me, Ned, promise me. Bran's like, okay, I'm leaving. Then she gets up and she goes, okay, all right, I'm feeling better. I think I can walk out of here.
Now, Duncan Dave at Duncan Dave was talking about the Hound. He said, are we sure the Hound wasn't talking about Arya when he told Clegane he knew who was, when he told Frank and Gregor who he knew he was coming for him?
That's a great point. He had just found out from Brienne that Arya was still alive and that she would take anybody out in her way. And so he should say, yay. Yeah, brother, you know me. That's you under the eyes. You look worse than I did. You know who's coming for you. She's about 4'9". And she's a world of trouble. And she's going to wear your face. She's coming to kill you. Catfish, do you need to see, after all these seasons, we were introduced.
Uh-huh.
We were introduced to the Mountain and the Hound's beef in the fourth episode of season one about how the Mountain stuck his brother, the Hound's face in the fire when they were kids. They have been teasing this all this time. The Hound, we thought he was dead. He's still alive. Are we going to get, in Season 8, the battle between the brothers? What do you think?
I think that the showrunners have demonstrated that they are willing to, I don't want to say stoop, but they're willing to do some fan service on this show. And, you know, in some ways, George R. R. Martin sort of likes to set things up and then not do them.
That's exactly right. Or he sets them up where you think, oh, okay, the Red Viper, Oberyn Martell, is going to get revenge for his dead sister. and he doesn't get revenge. He gets got. So, right. Yeah, that's a Martin trope, too.
Yes, but I think these showrunners are will happily give us fan service and will give us Clegane Bowl.
Now, there's one guy who doesn't measure up to the mountain. Not that anyone does, but he doesn't measure
Jon Snow?
He doesn't measure up to the mountain's knees. I'm talking about evil Uncle Tyrion and our good friend Sarvesh, who's at Sarvesh_C on Twitter. He wrote, Tyrion emphasizes he loved Cersei's children, but he didn't mention Joffrey. That must prove Tyrion is evil. Finally.
Well, perhaps it proves this.
Yeah.
That Joffrey is still using Tyrion to set his plan in motion, just like he did the attack on the wall.
Right.
The attack on King's Landing. And so Tyrion is saying, he means, I know Joffrey's not dead. So right. I loved your dead children, but I love worship your live child, Joffrey.
Right. Good point. Tyrion, he's got a way with words. Now, a way we've tried to get started with words is our coining of the name Dwight.
Yeah.
It's taken off. It's taken off just like Dwight has. It's knocked down walls in language just like Dwight has knocked down the wall. Our good buddy Lord Burrito, who's at Ek Adair, that's Ekadair, said, Dwight has an endless pool of mana. Need him on my Dungeons & Dragons team.
That's absolutely right. And as Shakes of Thrones says, I loved your coinage of Dwight.
Oh, yeah.
He said, we chuckle about it quite frequently after your Episode 6 podcast. Despair not.
Dwight is still
Dwight
happening,
lives
people.
On. Dwight's happening.
Keep happening, people. Beric Dondarrion. Here's a guy who disappeared after Season 3. Kind of the midpoint of Season 3. We don't see him again until one episode of Season 6. He kind of became a big player here in Season 7. We had a great question from another. Boy, everybody's great listeners. Nikki Powell. She wrote, I have a question for you guys about Beric.
Okay.
Nikki says she's not a book reader,
okay.
But many of her book reader friends have spoiled her that in the books, Beric gives up his life for somebody else to be brought back. She says, now that Thoros is gone, Thoros of Myr got attacked by a zombie polar bear, died freezing to death.
It took him longer than I thought, to be frank.
Now, that's a good way to go. She asks, what do you think Beric's role will be now in the show? She goes, I imagine he'll still be in the story to make a heroic sacrifice. Will we see him sacrifice in the first episode of next season, his final life, and bring back a character who would have been killed? I agree with you, Nikki. If you have a character who can come back from the dead, come back from the dead, come back from the dead, he's got to be there, not just as kind of a foreshadowing that is going to happen to Jon Snow, but if you're going to keep him around, he has to do something.
The Lord of Light has some plans for him, and so do the producers.
Any idea what that plan could be, Catfish? Any guesses you want to swing at?
He saves Tormund.
Oh, man, that would be great.
So that he can have huge, giant babies that rule the North.
Now that almost every character is in the North, you know, he has many people he could give his final life to so they could be brought back. Let me throw a wild one out there that will not make any sense.
Okay.
So we know one dragon got killed, mm-hmm. and then brought back to life.
Absolutely.
Who's to say another dragon couldn't get killed,
uh-huh.
but then before the Night King gets to it, Thoros kisses the dragon, breathes his last breath into the dragon, and the dragon is reborn, one for the good guys. How about that? You like that idea?
Wow, that is fascinating. We had some comments and some questions from the Black Kraken.
Oh, a great listener from way back when we started all those years ago. Love mm-hmm. the Black Kraken.
The Black Kraken says, while Catfish was away, it was interesting to hear his replacements. The manifold phrase, I mean Bubba relatives.
Well, wait a minute. Let me say, it wasn't just Catfish was away. I was away, too. I was on
that's
vacation.
Right, that's right. The downside is that I listened to the show with my 11-year-old daughter. That's completely inappropriate, by the way.
Okay,
and she now adopted incessantly the pronunciation Tyrion for Tyrion Lannister as for one of the Frey boys that was on the show. That's Well, so I guess we should say, you're welcome. Simply to drive me nuts. Please, aww, Bubba, send those kids to the Citadel in Old Town and Professor Henry Higgins them up on Agreed, a Song of Ice and Fire pronunciation.
You know, there's a chance that that's the Roy Dotrice pronunciation. I got no idea.
You know what's funny is that I noticed myself, because I was a book reader first, saying the names sometimes not the way they're pronounced on the show.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And because I keep thinking that I'm saying, everybody says Sansa, right?
Or Sansa. Yeah, this,
I don't know.
Tomato. It's so tough.
I keep saying it, and then I hear someone else say it, and I say, I think I'm saying it wrong, because it's just in my head forever. All right, number two.
Oh, this is still from the Black Crack.
This is still the Black Crack. It says, I found it, in quotes, interesting. That when a female guest was on this year,
Kelly, our good friend at Kelly Underfoot on Twitter,
both Bubba and Catfish appeared to find her every utterance not only amusing, but deeply insightful. Other male guest stars like Mork get treated like post-grayscale Sir Friendzone at a nude beach. Oh. Why the dichotomy?
Well,
let me say this,
yeah,
first
you
of
go,
all.
Catfish.
I have some tangential knowledge of our listener, the Black Kraken.
Yeah.
And he is not as respectful to women as we are.
Oh, boy, that's really terrible, Ben.
Yeah, yeah. So he maybe he just doesn't know that when you have a guest on your show, yeah, who is someone that you're not, you know, that you know, but you're not longtime friends with,
right,
that you give them some respect, as opposed to the people that you know and are friends, who you freely disrespect just for fun.
Let me say that, mm-hmm, I wasn't faking. I thought Kelly made a lot of brilliant points.
No, I wasn't faking either. She did make some great points. But also, we treated her the way you treat someone who is who has done you a favor.
Yeah,
she came up here and did us a favor, and we were happy to have her on, and we treated her nice. So, Black Kraken, I'm sorry if treating a person nice is not something. You know, Black Kraken is a lawyer, so
okay,
he's not used
that's
to treating
what it
people.
Is. This
I
is
should
our,
have just said that.
This
to
is
start
a cross examination. Of
yeah,
us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That just proves that if Kelly comes back a second time, we'll give her the Mork treatment. Now, let me say, I love Mork, but so listeners can get a peek behind the scenes here.
Ooh,
Mork, the very first time he was ever a guest of ours on the Joffrey podcast, the first time he was on an episode recap.
Okay.
Mork was on an episode recap, and literally the week following that episode recap that Mork was on, we got our first negative review on iTunes. And you would think, hey, wait a minute, that's not fair. Just blame Mork for this first negative review on iTunes, except the negative review quotes Mork. And I'm going to read it. This is from 2015, okay. Somebody uh-huh. called Leopard Lily.
Okay.
And they write, you know, these guys mostly complain about not seeing enough naked skin on the show and how Brienne's story would be better if she grew out her hair. Not funny. Now, I'm not saying it was funny, but Mork was trying to be a joke. He was not trying to be serious.
I don't remember him saying something about her growing out her hair.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Oh, God.
Mork was new to podcasting and didn't quite realize that, you know, your intention, you really have to sell if you're not serious about something and trying to make light of it. Because maybe this listener even knew he was trying to make light of it, but didn't think it was especially good to make light of. And so
Mork's good with the dry jokes, but sometimes
they're
don't
dry.
Translate.
They are dry. Oh my goodness gracious, Black Kraken gave us a couple more bullet points here.
Okay,
Catfish.
Let's hear it.
So he was asking us some stuff earlier. You know, we were talking about everybody talking about the pace moving so quickly and the mm-hmm. timing of events. He says, the dragons and zombies, you can accept. But fast moving ships and dragons and suspension of disbelief, if a ship moves too fast, he'll make it simple. Stuff can happen between scenes. This isn't just one of those live feed Scandinavian shows where they just stare into a camera as bird. They put a camera at a bird's nest for 24/7. Before, we hosts used to complain that events were too slow. Now they're too fast. He goes, if you want those type of events, of things being too fast, he'll be back with Mrs. Kraken.
I like some self-deprecating humor. You know, it's funny because I feel like you answered this question earlier, and it was just about if they could just throw in a couple things, or otherwise it really was nothing except for that scene with
Gendry running back
yeah.
to the... That was my point then. I always go back to the first season. In the first season, at the end of the second episode, Catelyn Stark is in her Winterfell. She says, okay, I'm going to take this assassin's dagger down to Ned and show him that people are trying to kill Bran. The very next episode, she's in King's Landing, a.k.a. she got from Winterfell to King's Landing in one episode. Nobody complained, but the plot didn't matter about that. It wasn't like, I've got to get this dagger to show Ned by tomorrow morning or Ned could get killed. You know, it was just like, okay, she left Winterfell, she showed up in King's Landing, big whoop. The infamous dragon attack and Gendry's run, like, these were all life and death situations. And so the focus was on time. The producers want us to think about time because, oh, get back to the wall quickly.
Right. And also, if they'd explained it away by something magical happened, I'd be okay with that. Yes, I'm willing to suspend any kind of disbelief with magic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But if magic isn't involved, I mean, my God, don't beat me over the head with it.
Black Kraken has one final note for us, Catfish.
All right. He says, a fun activity for you two boys. Since Game of Thrones is ending and the NFL is starting off, please compare key houses, characters to NFL franchises, e.g. the Bills would be similar to House Stark in that they are in the North. Good, noble, and seems to get surprised and lose it all at critical moments. Bill Belichick is obviously the Night King.
Oh, man.
Although the Night King says a little more and is a little less grumpy at his press conferences.
Oh, man. This is going to sound terrible. Mm-hmm. This is obviously our international listeners may not get some of this.
Mm-hmm.
These are professional sports teams here in the United States.
Okay.
I've always kind of liked the Cincinnati Bengals, so Bengal fans do not beat me up. But when they were on this TV show, this documentary TV show, Hard Knocks, it really felt like, you know, this is a family-run business and a real tight-run family, and they kind of don't have any other life. And so when you read that from Black Kraken, I immediately thought, the Bengals are House Frey. They're even on a river, on the Ohio River.
You know what's funny is I was thinking that the Black Kraken was really elevating his team, the Bills, by making them a major house. And I was going to make them the Freys as well.
Oh,
because
no.
You walk in and everybody is poor. There's obviously...
It's a dumpy old stadium.
It's a dump. People are misbehaving, having sex with whoever's around, their children. I mean, have you been or seen video from outside a Buffalo Bills game before the game? I mean, they are the Freys.
All right, so we don't want to attack other people's teams.
Okay.
Let's anymore, since we already... So let's attack my own team. So my own team is the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to them in the Super Bowl when they were ahead big? They were ahead 28 points to 3 points for all our international listeners. That's a lot of points in the American version of American football. And there wasn't much time left. And yet, in the end, they lost. So obviously, the Falcons are the Starks. All right. They got red weddinged. But that means we're just going to come back. We're going to come back and succeed. Go, Arthur Blank, go.
Well, I am going to say that my team, the New England Patriots, is clearly the Lannisters.
Okay.
They are evil and they will make any bargain. Sure, we'll agree not to spy on your signs. And then they just do whatever the hell they want. They're winners. They have enough money to a.k.a. get the Golden Company slash pay whatever fines they need to pay for their misdeeds.
Love it. So good. And Tom Brady's a bit of Jamie Lannister too, isn't he? We just need
sure
him
is.
To lose a hand.
He sure is.
So who's the Tyrion of that? Welker? Amendola?
Yeah. Welker or Amendola. Clearly, Brady is Jamie Lannister for sure. I think we've got only a few other major families. I think the Sand Snakes.
Who would they be? This is interesting.
That's tough.
Yeah, that is tough.
I might make them the Cowboys.
Oh, that'd be pretty good. I know that is it the Gladwells? Who owns the Tampa Bay Bucks?
The Bucks, yeah.
Yeah, the Gladwells. Yeah. They're incredibly rich. They also own Man U.
At least they did, yeah.
So maybe they're the Tyrells. You know, they got a lot of money.
Yeah, right. The NFL itself is just the Bank of Bravos.
Listeners, write to us and answer your version of the Black Kraken. We want to hear what you think as we spend our Sunday nights now watching football here in the United States as opposed to watching.
Yeah, if you have a football team, or if you don't like football, you have a soccer team, you have a baseball team, you have any kind of team, basketball team, please tell us which house your team is why.
Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/DoublePPodcast. The last question we got is from GoldenBoy12 at _GoldenBoy12 on Twitter.
Oh, is that Tom Brady?
Boy. Oh, boy, it could be. Since he's your quarterback, Catfish, why don't you read this tweet?
All right. GoldenBoy12 says, all this talk of succession begs the question, who inherits Littlefinger's brothel?
Oh, the brothels. There are brothels everywhere, but the King's Landing brothel. Littlefinger, as far as we know, didn't have any kids.
Right.
Next of kin, it may go to Sansa and Arya. Next of kin, meaning that he married her aunt. Or no, it goes to Robin Arryn. Oh, my God, it goes to Robin Arryn. He was his stepfather.
Oh, no. Oh,
if there's one kid you want to see in a brothel, is Robin Arryn. Is that not great?
Oh, God. That's horrible, but I know who should run it.
Who?
Podrick the Pimp.
He's going to need a job soon, Trip. Are we going to see Robin Arryn in Season 8, Catfish, yes or no?
I say no.
I think we got to. Come on. Every house is almost destroyed, so we got to destroy House Arryn.
Okay, let's do it. Let's make him fly.
Catfish, we have two final things we're going to do in this week's podcast.
What is that, Bubba?
First, we're going to draw a name and give away our final Game of Thrones prize of Season 7.
Amazing.
Then we're also going to name our Joffrey of the Week. That is the person, the place, the idea that represents his grace, King Joffrey, first of his name, first in your hearts, listeners, this week of September of 2017. So let's draw a name out of our big prize bowl. I am always blown away, listeners. You would not believe how many names are in this bowl. It is very flattering that you guys are kind enough to tweet out about the Joffrey podcast. It's helped our listenership always grow. Thank you so much.
Well, this is awesome. This name is one we've read tonight.
Oh, great.
It is Priscilla Bezerra.
All right. Congratulations, Priscilla. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/PPodcasts. Give us a mailing address, and we'll mail out your prize. Congratulations.
Yeah, that is awesome. Well, Bubba.
Well, Catfish, I want to say that in 2 weeks from now, we're going to have a book reading book bitching podcast.
Okay.
I've been holding off. I've been trying to keep our podcast as TV show friendly, non-book reader friendly as possible.
Okay.
But we're going to finally seriously break that rule on the next podcast where we go into our book bitching, which now that we're past the books, we talk about what can we glean about future books from the show. What can we really glean? And we're going to go deep, deep, deep into that subject matter. If you have ideas, listeners, please write on our Facebook page or hit me up on Twitter. My name is Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at FittenTrim. That's FittenTrim, at FittenTrim on Twitter. And we're going to go deep into those crazy subject matters, foreshadowings in the books that maybe have come true on the show.
Mm.
Maybe the show gives us an idea of, oh, that was foreshadowing in the books. We're really going to break it down. That's in a couple weeks, so we still need your feedback to get us through this long night until Season 8 in 2019.
Oh, my goodness. Not 2019. You know, before we do our Joffrey of the Week, we should mention that even though, sadly, the Gifted and the Damned Twin Peaks podcast is now over.
Oh, yeah.
That you still have the Strain podcast called Got Your Milk with Mork.
Which is going to end pretty much the same week you listen to this, as the Strain is about to do its final episode.
How sad. But coming up shortly, when I say shortly, I say you get 2 months to relax, Bubba, and then we will have Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Versus.
Bubba.
Versus.
Catfish.
Podcast.
See, I forgot it already.
It's going to be a podcast breaking down the Stars television series. That's really fun. Ash versus Evil Dead. It's Bubba and Catfish going super silly, breaking down a really fun show and going even deeper into silliness on it. That's going to be fun. That's coming out in a couple of months, possibly right at the beginning of 2018. We're very excited. We also have a feed. If you look at your Stitchers, your iTunes pod feeds, you can find a podcast entitled Double P Podcast Network. That's where we do one-offs, where we go see a movie, we go see a play, and we podcast about it. Can't wait for you guys to stay with us during the long night. So, Catfish, that's it for the podcast.
Oh, we don't have anything hold on. Else to we wait. Do have one more thing.
Wait, we do?
And that is our Joffrey of the Week.
Oh, no.
Every week, We try to inspire our double L's.
Double L's?
Loyal listeners.
Oh, that's what that means. Okay.
By talking about someone either real or fictional.
Okay.
That reminded us of some of Joffrey's virtues. So that we can give them someone else to look up to besides Joffrey, especially during this long winter of the show being off. My Joffrey of the week.
Yeah.
Is, again, it's fictional because it's so hard to find a real person who embodies any of Joffrey.
Could.
And so my Joffrey of the week is Pennywise the Clown.
You mean the star of the new movie It, based on the Stephen King novel It.
Yes. The first thing that he does is he is a very strong disciplinarian towards wayward children.
Right.
And the fact is, you think that he's gone, but he's not gone. Just like Joffrey isn't on Game of Thrones.
He'll never leave.
So that is my Joffrey of the week, Pennywise the Clown. How about you, Bubba?
I love the fact that Pennywise has his little birds, like Qyburn, uh-huh. and Varys, down in the sewers,
mm-hmm.
helping him run scams, helping him get the real usurpers of Derry, Maine.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's it.
I think that's a great choice. So, for everyone here...
Hold on, Bubba.
What?
As always, usually we leave this to you last because you've been spending so much time during the week thinking about
so
it that
thought.
You really have... Something I always learn something, so I'm just gonna face you, and I'm gonna be quiet, and I'm gonna hear who the real Joffrey of the week is.
All right, so currently there is a strong, powerful hurricane attacking the great state of Florida, the state I was born in, Florida. I'm a Florida native, born in Florida.
Right.
Hurricane Irma is attacking Florida.
Right.
Now, what do we know about hurricanes? They're named alphabetically.
Correct.
What letter comes after I?
J.
Let me check. Okay, hold on. A, B, C. You're right.
Okay.
And what hurricane is going to totally outpower Irma?
I think it's Jose.
It is. And so because we want all our listeners to be safe, all our listeners who've been in who are from Texas, like the Aria of Susans, who's down in Texas. I hope you've gotten through this painful hurricane season okay. There's another hurricane coming that will show everyone the real hurricane power. It's Hurricane Jose. Not as good as Joffrey. Got the first two letters right. Screwed up after that. Hurricane Jose. Because, like Joffrey, is following a strong mother, Irma.
Right.
And Joffrey made it rain.
Okay.
Like any good king, Joffrey made it rain.
Got it.
And so Jose...
Understood.
So hurricanes make rain. Okay, so what they do is... So because I've been thinking about it all week...
Right.
Hurricane Jose, my Joffrey of the week. Stay safe, everybody.
All right. Yes, please stay safe.
So that's it for this week's The Joffrey of Podcast. Catfish, where can people find you on Twitter?
They can hit me up at CJGman67.
You can find me at Fit and Trim, FitenTrim. And you'll hear us next time on The Job.